With Montana News, I'm Matt Blois. Governors of 19 western states are pressing the federal government to do more to prevent the spread of damage-causing invasive mussels from infected federally managed waterways. The Western Governors Association yesterday sent a letter urging Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke to put in place by spring controls to prevent the spread of zebra and quagga mussels. The mussels can attach to boats and trailers and travel long distances, clogging water pipes and affecting other aquatic life. Much of Montana is under winter weather advisories today and tomorrow, and that means a lot of snow. Todd Chambers is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service.
Areas in the south, we're looking at anywhere from 3 to 6 inches of snow, with some of the mountains seeing 2 feet. You get a little bit further north, and you're looking at 4 to 8 inches of snow across the lower elevations, and again up to a foot in those mountain locations. So there's going to be plenty of snow across the area. The area that may kind of skip out a little bit be far eastern Montana. Looks like they'll get the cold air, but not so much snow. Most of the snow is going to be hugging the foothills in the central portion of the state.
Chambers says Montana will also see some of the coldest weather yet this season, with lows dipping into the teens and single digits. And all the snow means roads have closed early in Yellowstone National Park. At this time, only the stretch from the north entrance at Gardner to Cook City remains open. Officials warn those roads could be closed all weekend and into Monday, when most of the park roads are scheduled to close down for the winter. The Trump administration has issued the latest blow in a trade war between the United States and Canada. The fight is over lumber, and as Yellowstone Public Radio's Nate Hedgie explains, it could save timber jobs in Montana while creating a lot of uncertainty in Canada.
At a hearing last month, Republican Senator Steve Daines lamented the loss of timber jobs in the state.
When I was a kid growing up in Montana, we had 30 active sawmills. Today we're down to 8.
For years, American lumber producers have blamed that decline, at least in part, on their Canadian counterparts, who they accuse of selling lumber here in the U.S. at unfairly low prices. So, on Thursday, the U.S. Department of Commerce slapped an almost 21% import tax on most Canadian softwood lumber coming across the border. Daines has advocated for import taxes since 2015, and in a statement he says it will help save Montana jobs.
Today's announcement is putting America first and protecting the hardworking families who rely on these good-paying lumber jobs. We're leveling the playing field so that the Canadians have to play by the same set of rules that Montanans do.
The import taxes are the latest blow in a timber dispute that stretches back to 2015, when the trade agreement between the two countries expired. The Commerce Department says Canadian producers then began selling their lumber at less than fair value. So in April, they levied a preliminary import tax of nearly 27%. After reviewing information over the summer, they revised that number down to 21% in a final decision Thursday. For the past 6 months, Canada's timber industry has weathered these duties. Harry Nelson is a forestry professor at the University of British Columbia.
The demand in the U.S. is strong enough to keep pulling that lumber in.
But if the U.S. housing market slumps or the Canadian dollar strengthens, that could mean trouble for our neighbors to the north, especially in smaller mills.
The larger producers, they can kind of swallow that, right? It's the smaller ones, and especially the smaller ones that are kind of struggling with log supply, that all kind of be disproportionately affected.
While no mills have yet closed because of the duties in Western Canada, Eastern Canada has seen some layoffs and shutterings. In Bozeman, I'm Nate Hedgie, YPR News.
With Montana News, I'm Maxine Spire. Former State Senator Linda Moss has joined the increasingly crowded slate of Democrats seeking Montana's sole U.S. House seat. Moss plans to make a formal announcement tomorrow in her hometown of Billings. She says she would change how the congressional office functions, creating a community action network that would connect government and nonprofit organizations. Moss says that network could improve services such as health care for seniors and rural residents. Moss served 2 terms in the Senate and was the majority whip in 2007. She now runs a consulting business. Moss is the 6th Democrat to join the race next year to challenge Representative Greg Gianforte, who took office after a special election held earlier this year. A Canadian mining company says it's raised more than $2 million from an outside investor to help fund its pursuit of a gold mine north of Yellowstone National Park. Lucky Minerals Inc. said Friday it's entered a $2.5 million investment agreement with Toronto-based Claris Securities. The deal is expected to close this month. Montana regulators granted permission in July for Lucky to begin exploration work in the Absaroka Mountains near the town of Emigrant. Environmental groups are challenging the state's approval of the project in court. They say mining would damage waterways draining into the Yellowstone River, hurting tourism. Republican leaders say they have not yet struck a deal with Governor Steve Bullock on how to solve the state's current budget crisis. Corin Cates Carney reports.
Earlier this week, the governor's budget director said that legislators and the governor needed to reach a deal to fix the state budget in the coming days. Today, Republican House Speaker Austin Knutson told reporters that there is still a lot of work to do.
There certainly have been some discussions, but to say that we're close to a deal, I think, is grossly overstating where I think we are.
The governor's office is pointing to the third week of November as a deadline to make headway on a combination of tax increases, legislative change, and cuts to balance the state budget, in order to make payments to schools which are due at the end of November. The state's general fund is expected to dip more than $37 million into the red later this month following those payments, according to estimates from the nonpartisan Montana Legislative Fiscal Division. Republican leaders say there are other actions the governor can take to make those school payments without lawmakers' help, and that shouldn't be linked to talk of a special session. The Legislative Fiscal Division reports that the state could transfer money from the state's treasury account in order to cover the pending cash shortfall, but the governor's office doesn't see that as a realistic option. Governor Steve Bullock has outlined 10% cuts across state agencies as required by statute to balance the state budget. Although both the executive and the legislature agree the full extent of these cuts would hurt many Montanans who rely on social programs, they haven't agreed on alternative plans to prevent these cuts from taking place. Democrats and Republicans will continue their negotiations in order to patch the state budget, derailed by state revenues coming in more than $200 million below projections. I'm Corin Cates Carney.
Three of six female plaintiffs who claim they were sexually assaulted by an adult Boy Scout leader nearly 40 years ago reached a settlement late yesterday. The Great Falls Tribune reports the attorney who represents the plaintiffs says the terms of the settlement are confidential. The lawsuit, filed in 2011, involves six female plaintiffs who were between the ages of 11 and 14 when they were sexually assaulted from 1974 to 75. I'm Maxine Spire with Montana Public Radio.